The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. I want to remind us tonight that these enemies are within the church. This is not talking about people outside the church. This is not talking about the world. This is talking about people who claim to be Christians. But Paul said they are enemies of the cross. They sat on church pews and sing church hymns. They worship the same Jesus. But Paul said they are enemies of the cross of Christ. If it's possible to be in the church and be an enemy of the cross of Christ, I'd like to know what that is, because I don't want to be one. I don't want to find myself in those shoes. I never want to be an enemy of the cross of Christ. And so this text tonight is going to tell us what to look for so that we will not be enemies of the cross. First of all, in introduction tonight, let me just talk a few moments about the cross of Christ. What is it? Why is it important? What does it mean? First of all, the cross is the means of our reconciliation to God. If it were not for the cross of Jesus Christ, you and I would not be here tonight. We would still be separated from God by a vast chasm that we would never be able to cross. Jesus is the only bridge, and the only way to get to God is through the cross of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you tonight, the cross still matters today. There are churches that have quit preaching the cross because they said it's too bloody. It's too coarse. It's too brash. So they don't want to preach a cross. Amen. A crossless Christian is a Christian in name only. As a matter of fact, there were those that stood at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ and said, "Come down from there and we'll believe you." The devil understands tonight that if he can destroy the cross, he can destroy Christianity, and it'll be nothing but an empty profession. We're reconciled to God through the cross. Colossians chapter 1 verse 20 said, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." It was at the cross that things were set right once again. The only reason that Adam and Eve were allowed to live from the day past their sin was because from the foundation of the world, a lamb was slain. That's the cross. God, looking down through history, provided himself a sacrifice, his own body, his own blood. Amen. The cross is important to us tonight. Don't ever forget the cross. Colossians 2 verse 13 and 14 said, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." Friend, I'm telling you tonight, the focal point of history, as far as God is concerned, is the cross. What stands out more than anything else in the history of the world is the cross. I'm telling you tonight, All sin before the cross was rolling toward the cross. Every sacrifice that was offered, it was to roll sin ahead. It was going somewhere. And when it got to Calvary, it stopped there. And the blood flows down the other side of Golgotha's hill almost 2,000 years ago. And that blood is still flowing and reaching to people today and still cleansing all of our sins. The cross is the focal point of the history of mankind, and thank God for the cross. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 and 16, he said, that he might reconcile both, that is, Jew and Gentile, unto God in one body by the cross. Before the cross, the Jews were the only ones that had an inside track. They were the only ones that had the Word of God preached to them. They were the only ones. But the cross made the difference. It opened the door not only to the Jew, but also to the Gentile. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for the cross. Hallelujah. But not only does the cross mean so much for our salvation and our reconciliation, but hear me tonight. It's the cross that identifies us with Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not talking about you wear around your neck on a golden chain. And I'm not talking about one that hangs in the front of a church building. I'm talking about that cross that Jesus spoke of when he said this. Luke chapter 14, 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. If you don't bear a cross, you cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And then he said it again, Luke 9 and 23. He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Notice that. Deny himself. Now I'm going to talk about that in a minute. One of the problems that the enemies of the cross has, they will not deny themselves. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. When you don't feel like coming to church, deny yourself and come anyway. When you don't feel like worshiping, deny yourself and worship anyway. When you don't feel like praying, deny yourself and pray anyway. When you want to give somebody a piece of your mind and say something you shouldn't say, deny yourself. When you're tempted to do some sin that you know is against the word of the Lord, deny yourself. When you want to do something that your weaker brother would stumble at, even though it's not a conviction for you, deny yourself. I'm going to tell you something tonight. This is not a pleasure boat we're on. The old ship of Zion, it's sailing to Calvary. But friend, you're going to have to deny yourself if you're going to get there. Hello. I hope that's all right, because that's the truth anyhow. Hey, amen. Your greatest problem's not the devil. And your greatest problem's not your brothers and sisters. Your greatest problem is the person you see in the mirror when you get up in the morning. You got to deny yourself. Hello? Amen. You got to get Paul. What did Paul say? He said, I die daily. He said, I keep under this body. I bring it into subjection. He said, I mortify my members. That is, I put them to death. I put my eyes to death, so they'll not see the things they shouldn't see. My ears, so they won't hear the things and listen to things they shouldn't listen to. My hands, so they'll not do things they ought not to do. I deny myself. The principle of the cross is self-denial. If I remember my Bible correctly, Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane and said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be That's a cross principle. It's denying self. It's denying self. It's denying self. It's crucifying flesh. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's our identity with Jesus Christ. He said, let him deny himself. And then he said, and take up his cross. Everybody say his. Everybody say my. My cross. Jesus bore his own cross. You don't take his cross. You take your cross. And here's a word we often skip over. Matter of fact, it's recorded only here in the book of Luke. Daily. Not just Sundays. Not just Wednesday nights. But every day. When you get up out of your bed, you need to get your cross. When you walk through the door, you need to have your cross. Amen. You need to carry it everywhere you go. And if you come to a place that you can't go with your cross, just don't go there. If you've got to say something that you'll have to lay down your cross, don't say it. If there's something that you want to do that you can't do with holding your cross, don't do it. Amen. That cross is what identifies us with Jesus Christ. He was constantly denying himself. He was constantly, there was a cross in his life every day. And there's got to be a cross in my life. And there's got to be a cross in your life every day. Let him take up his cross daily and follow me. Amen. Hey, we're still followers of Jesus. We're still disciples of Jesus. We're trying to follow him. Is that not right? And then it's not about where I want to go and what I want to do, but it's where he wants me to go and what he wants me to do. Amen. Praise God. And so, you see, we have a cross in our lives. It's what identifies us with Jesus. And the cross, the Bible said, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. He said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us, which are saved, it is the power of God. Anybody that thinks the cross is foolish, that tells you what camp you're in. Amen. I'm going to tell you what the cross is. It's the power of God in your life. It's the power of God in your life. Amen. And this is how it works. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Paul said, I need a cross so that I can crucify this old flesh one more time. And when I crucify the flesh, I experience resurrection power. I experience the power of God. I can't overcome in this flesh, but I can overcome by the cross. Hallelujah. We're made overcomers when we deny ourselves. We're made overcomers when we crucify the flesh. We experience the power of God and the overcoming power of the Holy Ghost when we once again crucify ourselves. You need a cross in your life. You've got to have a cross. Amen. Thank God for the cross. Hallelujah. That's how we defeat the world tonight. Then the Apostle Paul says, be followers together with me. One translation says, be imitators of me. I mean, that's one of the things we want to do in life is to, and wouldn't it be wonderful if your Christian testimony actually is simply that? If somebody followed you, would they be following Jesus? If somebody talks like you talk, would they be following Jesus? If somebody lives like you live, would they be following Jesus? The Apostle Paul said, be a follower of me because I'm a follower of him. That's how we need to live our lives. You know what, folks? We need to get really serious about living for God. It's become easy for people just to make excuses. Well, nobody's perfect. I understand that, but we ought to be striving to be. We need to strive to be. And the things that are not like Christ, we need to lay aside. Amen. Praise God, it's awfully quiet, but it's good anyhow. Woo, I feel like shouting. That's pretty good stuff. I'm just telling you, it is. You may not think so, but it is tonight anyhow. Amen. We may all be hurting too much to say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And then the next thing, I like what he said here. He said, and mark them. Put a mark on them. The word actually means take aim at them. Amen. He said, as examples are patterns to follow. When you follow, when you find somebody that's living like Jesus, follow them. He said, mark that person. Amen. Why is it that sometimes people, you know, whenever we look around, we find some people and we excuse by saying, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. So what? That's not who you mark. You don't mark that one that's worse than you. You don't mark that one that has a flaw in their life that's big enough for you to justify yourself with. Amen. You mark the ones that are following Christ. You mark that one that's really separated from the world and following Jesus Christ and denying themselves and carrying their cross. And you set your aim on that individual. He said, because that's your example. That's the one you follow. And then verse 18, and this really bothered me a lot. He said, for many. Do you notice that word? Many. That really is disturbing tonight, Brother Fry. He said, for many. For many of them I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. He's writing to the church in Philippi. And he says, there are many in that church. And that's not just Philippi. He said, there are many. There are many that walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. We look back at that era of time and we say, oh, I wish I would have been alive when the apostles were here. You know what? They had hypocrites then too. Yeah. They had all kinds of stuff then that you got now. Yes, they did. Amen. Paul was weeping in the letter of Timothy when he said, all of Asia is turned away from me. Paul was the apostle. He was the one that brought the gospel to them. And right before he dies, he's weeping because he said they've all turned away. That doesn't mean they had to, don't call themselves Christians anymore. They just didn't believe what he taught them. They just decided that the cross was not in their life anymore. There is an easy message of easy believism that a lot of people want to believe and follow and do. But if we're going to be Christians, we can't do it without a cross. So he says they're enemies of the cross of Christ. First thing he mentions, verse 19, he said, whose end is destruction. In other words, you don't get away with it. You don't get away with it. Amen. We've got this little thing, especially in our time and our day. We live in a culture where you pick and choose everything. And it's not like Burger King in the church. You don't have it your way. Amen. Christianity is really not a have-it-your-way religion. Let me say that again. Christianity is not a have-it-your-way religion. It's not the preacher's way. Amen. It's the Bible way. Yes, it still is. It still is. Man, praise God. I know that there are a lot of folks that don't like that message, but it's still true. Amen. You know, we used to sing a song, one way to God, one way to God, one way to God, baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. And maybe we ought to resurrect that. Hallelujah. Just one way. It's the Bible way. Amen. And so I don't want to say that tonight. Please don't take that as a feeling or sense of pride. I don't say that out of pride. I just say it because it's truth. God help us. I don't want to be arrogant with the gospel. I really don't. I don't want to be proud and arrogant and haughty about the gospel. Amen. But at the same time, I want to be truthful. I want to be honest. I want to be upfront and open. And God help me, please, to be compassionate. Amen. But at the same time, folks, we can't water this down. We can't change this. We can't just do it to please people. I know it. We hear it. We're a bunch of legalists. Amen. Well, friend, I'm sorry, but this is a contract. It is a contract. It's the old contract and the new contract. The Old Testament, the New Testament. It is a contract. And contracts are binding. And they are legal. And they don't have wiggle room in them. That's why you have a contract. So yes, it's legalistic. Amen. But it's not only binding on my part, it's binding on His part. He not only asked me to bind myself to Him, He bound Himself to me. That's the beauty of a contract. That's the beauty of something that is legal, because it requires something of God and it requires something of man. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Amen. Praise God. So the next time somebody calls you a legalist, out. Say, thank God I'm legal. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God there's a cross in my life that has kept me time and again. When I could have been gone. I could have been gone. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. The devil don't quit lying to you just because you've been living for God a while. He doesn't quit tempting you just because you've been living for God a while. He doesn't quit tempting you because you get your license with the United Pentecostal Church. He still lies to you. He still tempts you. Amen. It never stops. It's an onslaught. But you know, after all of these 40 plus years I've had the Holy Ghost, sometimes the devil says, you don't have the Holy Ghost. He just throws it out there, and if I swallow it, he wins. But I'm a legalist. I got a legal contract that says that the evidence of the Holy Ghost, the initial evidence, is speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. That happened to me on June the 19th of 1967, and I still practice it just about daily. Woo, hallelujah. And I just tell him, devil, if you don't believe it, I'm just going to pray through and talk in tongues a little bit right now, and I might just shout a little to show you I still got it. Hallelujah. He'll still lie to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So he said, there are many that walk as enemies of the cross. Their end's destruction. Now listen closely. Hear me very closely here. And this is hard for me to preach tonight. And you'll know why in just a minute. Whose God is their belly. Now it's hard for a fat man to preach that. It'd be a lot easier for Brother Hart and Brother Wasser to get up here and preach that tonight. It's all right. You can go ahead and laugh. It won't hurt anything. You won't hurt my feelings. I know I'm fat. Amen. But you know what? I've decided to get thin in 2010. I just hadn't got a chance to get started yet. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. And so their God is their belly. That's not just talking about gluttony. It's talking about the appetite of the flesh. We get back to one simple principle. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. There are people that are Christians that don't deny themselves. They know they should, but they don't. They know they shouldn't say some things they say, but they just go ahead and say them anyway. They know there are certain things they shouldn't go, certain things they shouldn't do, certain places they shouldn't go, but they go and they do anyway. Because they don't deny themselves. Amen. They don't have a cross. They don't have a cross. They have a name. They have a profession. They have a religion. But they don't have a cross. Amen. We got to have a cross in our folks. Still have to have a cross in our lives. And the Bible says that they glory in things that they should be ashamed of. It's grievous to see somebody that glories now in something that at one time they knew was wrong. But now they glory in their quote-unquote liberty. The things that used to identify them with Jesus Christ, their holiness was a mark of their identity and their discipleship, but they cast all of that aside. And now they glory in the things that one time convicted them. Isn't it something that one of the first things that people do when they backslide, women especially, is grab scissors and cut off their glory. Why is that? Why is that? Can I just go ahead and get personal tonight? I mean, I haven't been, right? I've been kind of just tiptoeing around here, not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. You know, I've been trying to be real cautious and soft. And why is it that when we begin to get cold in the Lord, the first time we want to do is buy television? And why is it that as soon as we grow cold in the Lord and we get liberated, that we want to change the way we dress so that we can no longer be identified as anything different than the world? And when people see us on the street, they'd never know us from anybody else in the world. We dress the same. We look exactly the same. We wear the same makeup, the same styles, the same hairstyles. Why is that? What is there about that? I'm telling you, friend, I still believe the scripture said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you. Now, I'm not saying tonight that people that get, what is it, liberated. I don't know what happens. I'm not the judge tonight. It's not my job. I'm not trying to judge anybody. I'm just simply saying that I don't understand why things that God, that brings me close to Him, why I would want to be liberated from those things. And why I would like to be more like the world and less like Jesus Christ. And call it liberty. Amen. You know what? Has anybody ever heard this? Have you heard somebody glory and things that they used to be ashamed of. And now they brag about it. They boast of it. The thing that was their shame has now become their glory. The Bible said they're enemies of the cross of Christ. They got tired of denying themselves. They were tired of crucifying themselves. And so they give in and become enemies of the cross. I don't want a cross in my life. I want Jesus in my life. I want to feel the Holy Ghost. I want to sing with anointing. I want to preach with anointing. I want to pray with anointing. But I don't want a cross. I want to be called a Christian. I want to be part of the Christian religion. But I don't want a cross. Isn't grace wonderful? Preach grace, but not the cross. Sing about grace, but not the cross. You got to have a cross in your life. There never comes a time when you can lay aside the cross and still be a Christian after God's own. The Bible says that they mind earthly things. All they talk about is earthly things. There are some preachers, all they want to preach about is prosperity. How to get rich. God wants you to have the best of everything. God wants you to have a mansion. God wants you to have a Rolls Royce. God wants you to have an air-conditioned doghouse. God wants you to just be rich, 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 rich. Bless me, 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 bless me. Don't deny yourself. God wants to give you the desires of your heart. Wait a minute. You skipped a whole bunch of that verse. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Don't delight yourself, but delight yourself in the Lord. When your heart becomes His heart, He can easily give you the desires of your heart because it's what is right for you and what God wanted to give you in the first place. I'm telling you tonight, when you get right with God, you don't care whether you're driving a Cadillac or a Volkswagen. Makes no difference. You can live in a barn or a mansion. Makes no difference. Because you don't care about stuff. Huh? I don't know why I'm preaching like this, but I am. Amen. Praise God. When you get to the place that you can only wear certain brands of clothes, if it don't have the right label, and you didn't get it out of the right store, and you didn't pay the high price, so you can tell somebody about it, Earthly things. Amen. Earthly things. Amen. They know more about all of the Hollywood stars and the rock stars and the sports stars. They don't know all of that. They can tell you who's married to who and who got divorced from who and who's going with who and all of that stuff. Earthly things. Their mind is just full of earthly things. Amen. They can tell you all of the earthly things, but they can't even tell you how to get to heaven. Amen. We need a cross in our life, folks. We still need a cross in our life. I'm not talking about one hanging around my neck. I'm not talking about one printed on a placard on the bumper of my car. I'm talking about a real one that you can't see, but it's there. And when I wanna let down, says you can't. You can't do that. Oh, but I want to. Yet, but you can't do that. Because you got a cross in your life. But so-and-so's doing it. That may be. But you've got a cross in your life. Well, why do they get away with it? I don't know. But I've got a cross in my life. And it won't let me get away with it. And I don't want to lay it down. Thank God for a cross in my life. I don't want to be an enemy of the cross. Sometimes we wonder, well, God, what's wrong with me? So-and-so's doing that. All the stuff they've gotten. Look at all this. Look at all of that. Why me, God? Because you got a cross in your life. You made a consecration. And you kept it. Well, everybody else is talking about all their stuff. I hope in the back of your mind there's a little song saying, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I hope we remember that we're pilgrims and strangers in the world. And we've got a cross. It's important that we have a cross. Let's not forget that tonight, that we have a cross. Amen. Praise God. Paul said, and I'm closing now, he said, our conversation, our community, and the word really means our citizenship. Our citizenship, he said, is in heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. He said, my citizenship is a heavenly citizenship. I'm a citizen of heaven, so that's what I act like. If you've been around us much, you kind of know that Texans are kind of proud to be Texans. But I'm telling you what, I'm really a citizen of heaven. I'm really a citizen of heaven. And that's what he's saying here. He goes on to say, for our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for a Savior. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody looking for Jesus? Where's he coming from? He's coming from heaven. He's not coming from Saks Fifth Avenue. He's not coming from Wall Street. He's not coming from Hollywood. Amen. He's coming from heaven. Are you still looking for him? Oh, and here it says, remember what he said about the enemies of the cross? He said, whose end is destruction. But listen to the citizen of heaven. He said, that one, that Jesus that's coming, shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, I still believe in the rapture. I still believe, amen, that if I have to go by the way of the grave, when the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise first.
And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I still believe that. And that's when you leave your cross. But not until then. Not until then. Oh God, help us. I don't want to be an enemy of the cross. Let's stand together. Oh God, I need a cross in my life. Help me to cherish that old rugged cross. Help me to cherish that old rugged cross. Don't let me ever lay it down. Amen. You know, it's the power of God and it's the peace of God. That's how you get peace in your life. If you're troubled tonight, go back to the cross. If you're troubled tonight, go back to the cross. And nail all of yourself there. And let the peace of God that passes all understanding comfort your mind and your heart and give you peace. Amen. Thank God for a cross. Thank God for a cross. Thank God for a cross.
But for the cross, the Amen. Same that Jesus.
I think it would be good tonight if we'd just bring our cross to the front of this assembly.
I would die.
Bring it with you.
Sin to live again no more.
He gave you one. He gave you one.
But since his life, he
what some people see as a curse, God just sees as a cross. And then what the Apostle Paul said, one time Paul prayed. He said, I prayed three times. He said that this thorn, he called it, would be taken. Did you know there's three things that afflict Christians? Anybody ever have a burden? The Bible talks about burdens. Christians have to carry burdens. And the next thing that happens to Christians are thorns. Paul said, there was given to me a thorn. God gave Paul a thorn. He said, lest I be lifted above measure. But if you've got a cross tonight, it's because you choose it. Nobody can force a cross on you. You have to pick it up purposely and make up your mind. I'll choose the cross. I'll choose the cross. I'll choose the cross. You don't choose your burden and you don't choose your thorn, but you do choose your cross. Amen. Hallelujah. God, help me tonight. I don't want to be without a cross. I don't want to tell Jesus, if you'll come off the cross, I'll receive you. If you'll do it with that self-denial stuff, I'll live for you. If I don't have to crucify my flesh, I'll live for you. If I don't have to deny myself, I'll live for you.
And my life was filled with
God. I want to live for you, whatever it costs. Whatever the price.
Who gave his life?
I need a cross in my life.
To set me free.
I know that self is not pretty. I sit around me all day long, every day. I see selfish people.
That a king.
And selfishness is so ugly.
For me.
It's so ugly. People thinking only of themselves. They don't think of their wife, their husband. They don't think of their children. They don't think of their families.
They don't think of their brothers or their sisters. They only think of themselves. They just do what they want to do, regardless of the cost, regardless of the pain, regardless of what it does to somebody else. I've just got to have it my way. I'm going to live my way. I'm going to do it my way. Me. God, help me to crucify myself tonight, because I only find peace in the cross. I only find peace in the cross. When I crucify self and I open myself to service and I look beyond my own self, my desires, my will, my way, and I look out and see the needs of others. Amen. I see how I can share, how I can bless, how I can help. I see a way of ministry, a way to reach out and touch somebody, a way to bless somebody. Oh, that's whenever I receive joy. And that's how the peace comes. Help me, God, to live the way of the cross. Hallelujah. On a hill far away.